I'm an addict. My name's Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
Can we just take a moment so I can move completely out of the way and just a moment of silence, or we could just say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is my least favorite thing to do in recovery. But I always show up if I can, you know, that's how I was taught. The most important thing I'm probably going to say is that my clean date's August 2nd, 2001. God, I'm so nervous. I was sitting over there thinking I'm just going to throw up because I just, when I get up here, I instantly have to expose myself. Something about the podium makes me have to expose really who I am, because everything that like glitters isn't always gold. I'm just going to give you a brief, you know, my topic is gifts of recovery, but I'm just going to let you know how I qualify. I got clean at 23 years old. I'm 32. I came from a suburb of Pittsburgh. I used drugs at 17. And I ended up in Narcotics Anonymous at 23. So it hit me real fast. Like, the shit wasn't fun. It was fun in the beginning, and then it became a nightmare later. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and my mom and my father are both in recovery. So I grew up going to Al-Anon, Nar-Anon, Alateen, whatever, therapy twice a week, group therapy, individual therapy. Like, I was in all types of shit. Because, you know, that's what they said you need to do. And, so I got high, and I got here. I didn't really want to be here. I got here because I know now it was God, but I wanted to take a rest. My life was completely unmanageable. I ended up, drugs of choice were weed, alcohol, and pills. And when I first got clean, I didn't think I qualified because I was in rooms with people that were did heroin, Oxycontin, crack. They had children. They were prostituting on the corner, all this stuff. And I was like, I really don't belong here. I'm from the suburbs, for real. I smoked weed, you know, popped a couple Xanax, and, you know, I minimized it. The disease always wanted to separate me from you all. When I went to rehab, I immediately knew, like, something wasn't right, that I did belong, because the feeling of, like, not belonging, having the no self-esteem to, you know, all that stuff that we feel, inadequacy, all that stuff came up, and I knew I belonged, but I still felt uneasy, like I said, when I went to my first meeting, and I got clean in Washington, PA, and then I moved down to Pittsburgh. That's where I did a lot of my meetings and things like that. It was hard getting clean at 23 years old, because there wasn't a lot of young people that came to recovery. And if they did, they didn't really stay that long. My first sponsor always told me two newcomers don't make clean time. So I couldn't hang out with newcomers. You know, I had to get people with more time than me. I struggled a lot with that because, like, I had parents that had clean time, okay? My mom got clean when I was 9 years old, and she's coming up on 24 years clean. So it's like, wow, you know, I had such a high standard for myself, you know, like, because they did it, so can I, you know. I put a lot of pressure on myself when I got here. But I knew I didn't want to go back to the way I felt. It's all about feelings for me, and I felt like I can identify, like, just because I didn't smoke crack or just because I wasn't prostituting on the corner didn't mean that I didn't trick with my boyfriend, because ultimately that's what it was. Because at the end, you know, he was giving me money for services, but you couldn't tell me that early on. Like, when I was in it, like, he's my boyfriend. That's what we do. But sex exchange for money equals prostitution. So, that's, you know, it's what it was. I needed to look at all the similarities, you know, and not the differences, you know, I've been through some things here. I grew up in Narcotics Anonymous. You need to know. And all the mistakes that I made here, I wouldn't change for the world. I'm telling you right now. Because nobody could kick me out. So it was awesome. But if I made them out there, then it would definitely, I'd have some major consequences. I don't want to distort anything. Like, I had consequences, and some of them were financial. Like, I'm an only child, and I come from my mother is Mexican and German, and my father's black, and I grew up in an all-white community. I went to Baldwin High School, so there was 5 black people, and that was it. Definitely a product of my environment. I struggled with how I talked, how I looked, how I dressed, because, like, I wasn't black enough for the black kids, and I definitely was too black for the white kids, so, like, I struggled with identity. Then when I got clean and it came in Narcotics Anonymous and I went to these South Hills meetings, you're just a black girl, you know, you don't fit in here. And then when I went to the city, you don't fit in here either, you're too white. And it's just like, wow. So I struggled in Narcotics Anonymous. I struggled with women, you know, because, like, you know, the assumption is, you know, because you think you're cute, you know. I do. Not every day. You need to know that not every day. Just for today, I'm okay with brandy. Because at any given moment, when I look in the mirror, something changes. My disease will talk to me. You know, it'll disqualify me in every single way. Everything that I've accomplished here, like the gifts of recovery. One of the gifts that I have is, like, I'm a daughter today. I'm a friend. I'm a sponsee, and I'm a sponsor. And most importantly, like, I'm a recovering addict to the best of my ability. I'm a lot better than where I came from. You need to know. Because when I came here, I was so immature. I didn't understand life on life's terms. I'm an only child, so everything that I got everything handed to me, so to speak. If I made a mistake paying my rent or paying bills, I would call my parents, and then they would give me all this lip service, and then they would just pay it, and I never learned anything. I just learned that if let them talk to me and bitch me out, it's okay, and they'll pay it anyway. So I didn't learn nothing until I got evicted, and because I tried that with my landlord. He didn't want to hear it because I believed everybody got $10, and that doesn't work out so well. If you own property and a landlord, you understand. So I got evicted clean. And I ended up, my mom and dad lived in North Carolina, and a lot of things transpired, and I ended up, like, living from house to house, and it was a bad situation. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, because people in the rooms offered their couches to me, rooms and stuff, you know, and today I have an opportunity to give back without any stipulation. I remember, like, having this experience. Like, I was in a relationship. You know, we talk about not having relationships. You know, don't get in one in the first year. I don't know who said that, but that's ridiculous. Because I believe that we have to have relationships. I have a relationship with my higher power. I get a relationship with my mother, with my coworkers. Like, that's what this is about, having building relationships. So I got into a relationship. Couple. And the one that's really fond is I stayed in this relationship for 4.5 years of my recovery, and he was not in Narcotics Anonymous. I picked up my 3-year key tag with a black eye. And you need to know I stayed with that man after that. And I picked up my key tag with a black eye, and that's how I ended up homeless, because he wasn't working. He was from the Renewal Center, and my house was the home plan, and I thought we were going to be together forever. And, you know, I was going to help him get a job and help him raise his children and all this stuff. I was 25 at the time. And, you know, so we stayed together. And I ended up getting evicted and losing my place. And I had some bad experiences. Like, you know, with when you stay with other people, it's not always good, because it's somebody else's house. You got to follow their rules, you know. And I didn't always like to follow rules. I don't know if anybody can identify, you know. So I always ended up getting kicked out, and I couldn't understand why. So today, one of the gifts of recovery is, like, I'm able to help another recovering addict out in their time of need without any expectation. I put that out there from the door. When she called, I said, come. And guess what? There's no expectation. None. You don't pay nothing. You don't do nothing. This is what – because I remember – you know, it's important for me to be reminded, because I'm a quick forgetter. You know, I forget where I come from sometimes because of the gifts of recovery, because, like, I'm employable today. I work 2 jobs and I go to school. And right now at the point of my life, I'm studying to take this insurance test. I'm trying to sell insurance. And the company I work for, it's a requirement for me to keep my job. And the addict girl that I am decided, like, this test, normal people get 60 days to study for this test. I decided to study for 2 weeks and not really study, for real. and skim, take the test, and I failed it and didn't understand how come I failed. Well, because I didn't read the whole book. So I still do stuff like that. You know, one of my character defects is procrastination. I believe it motivates me. It's the lie that I tell myself, and it gets me in trouble all the time. The gentleman was sharing about, you know, the fourth step, you know, and it does get a bad rap. Fourth step was kind of cool for me because I was able to tell my story the way that I wanted it to, the way I believed it, you know. The self-centeredness really came out in four. It's all your fault. I did nothing. And then six came, okay, and all those defects came out. You know, pride, ego, they got babies, you know. They stem from anger and all this other shit, you know. I stayed on six for 2 years, you need to know. It was Groundhog Day in my world, literally. I want to say, like, the most important thing that, like, one of the most important gifts that I've received in recovery, besides the fact is, like, for the newcomer, like, and I know you can identify, having a peace of mind, waking up every day and just having a clear mind. Like, my mind used to race so much, and I couldn't get a moment's peace, and, like, just for today, like, I got peace when I wake up every day and go to sleep at night. But one of the most important things that I've worked on so, and I continue, is besides the fact, like, the relationship with my higher power, but the relationship with my mother. You need to know that, like, where I come from, me and my mother were not on really good terms. I hated my mother. And I come from where I wouldn't go to meetings and character assassinate her. I just would assassinate her to, like, my friends and my sponsor, because that's what I was taught. I wasn't coming to meetings, like, sharing about how I can't stand her and I hope she dies. Like, I didn't share that crazy shit. I shared it with my sponsor, you know, because there was no judgment there. And I knew that my, not a secret, but it was safe because I didn't want to assassinate anyone. And I remember a long time, like, I just, I had such a issue with her because I judged her and didn't understand where she came from and all this stuff. And you need to know, like, the first 9 years of my life, my mother didn't raise me. My grandmother did. Because my mother was in her active addiction, and she gets clean at 9 and says, I'm your mom now. We're going to do things this way. Didn't work out so good, but she did the best of what she could, you know. And I appreciate that now today. My mom is one of my best friends. I believe our parents are our first sponsors. So, like, she sponsored me in a lot of ways in becoming the woman that I am today. But in my early recovery, our relationship was very bad. I didn't trust her. I was angry. We would get in arguments, and we couldn't live together, and I couldn't stomach her because my parents got divorced, and I blamed my mother, and, you know, how dare you divorce my dad, and, you know, honestly, I think if they would have got divorced when I was young, I could have dealt with it better, but as an adult, I went like crazy. I'm like, no, like, you guys should be together, you know, forever. I've never been married, so I didn't understand, but I was judging her. And when I got past all that stuff, all those resentments that I had, because you need to know I didn't know I was angry either for the first, like, I don't know, I have 9 years clean, so let's just say 8. Didn't know I was angry. And so I started having, like, these panic attacks and, like, anxiety attacks all the time. And I decided to get help because it was either use or go get some outside help. So I decided to go get outside help because I believe the steps help keep me clean, okay? But I really needed to speak with someone with a degree that can assess my mind and help me, you know? Because I know sometimes in here we think we're psychologists, family therapists, attorneys, accountants, you know, all types of shit in here. But no, if you don't have a degree in that, you know, just for me, you couldn't help me. So I decided to go to a therapist, and I started speaking with this woman, you know, once a week, and my plan was just to see her once a month, but she was like, you need to see me every week. When I got to the root of some stuff, you know, knowing that, like, I'm not responsible for my mom and, like, you know, all this other stuff that I had, I was able to have a better relationship, like, keep my mouth shut sometimes. Like, why do I have to have the last word, you know? Stuff like that, and just understand where she came from. It's better to be understanding than to be understood. So that's kind of like how our relationship got better. I'm going to be honest and tell you that, I didn't tell anybody this except my sponsor, but my therapist broke up with me. She decided to call me because I canceled one time because I'm Greedy Gretchen. One of my other defects is, like, greed. I'm always working overtime. Give it to me. And so I canceled my therapy appointment, and I canceled once. Okay. She scolded me the first time. I was like, okay. Then the second time she decides to call me and says, I don't think this relationship's going to work. And I'm like, oh my God, you're breaking up with me? Like, what do you mean? You know, can't we work this out? Like, I don't understand. And, she's like, I think you need to see somebody else. And I'm like, no, Nancy, like, come on, let's just work it out. Like, I apologize. I'm sorry. I won't let it happen. I really thought that, like, we were together, like, we broke up. And so now I'm in search for another therapist because Nancy broke up with me. I'm sure I'll get one. But, aside from that, like, that's an important, like, and it's only through Narcotics Anonymous. I'm really working on some stuff and, like, growing up as a woman in here, like, but starting out as a little girl and being a woman, admitting, like, being honest, that was the most important thing. Like, when I first got here, two men said to me, they're from Pittsburgh, George and Hank, and they said to me, they used to call me 90210, okay, all the time, and they used to say to me, you know, your most important thing that you can do in here is just be honest, remain honest, and just be open-minded. And I said, okay. And I've always been honest. So I would always ask for help, you know, and I would always tell the truth until I get backed into a corner. Then I tell the truth. Sometimes I'm a secret squirrel. You know, I'll do my dirt and don't say nothing. And then when it gets real crazy, I'm like, okay, I'll tell, you know, because I don't want to get high, you know. But I honestly feel that, like, this is the best time of my life, honestly. Like, I spent my 20s clean. A lot of people can't say that. You know, I came in here and I did a lot of dirt. You know, I dated married men. I dated men in relationships. I dated men in recovery, out of recovery, clean time, no clean time, sometime, all the time. Didn't matter, you know. But I learned from all that stuff, you know. And, no, I can honestly say that. But this relationship with my mom is gotten so much better. And I'm grateful to be, like, a good daughter. You know, I'm able to help her. We live together. That's what I was getting to. I came to her when I left my boyfriend of 4.5 years because he convinced me to live in his sister's basement and give up my apartment and live in his basement. Forgot that part. Right. So that's what I did. And when I decided that, like, that wasn't good enough anymore and I needed something else, that I wanted to change, then I left him. And I called my mom and I said, can I come stay with you? And she said, absolutely. And it was only supposed to be, like, for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 years later. And I'm still there. And the cool thing is, like, we help each other out, which is nice. Like, I'm responsible. I pay bills. Like, Kath comes to me like a bill collector, which she doesn't have to. She used to, but now it's like she knows my payday, so she's on me like, you got your bill money right now? And I'm like, yes. You know, that keeps me accountable because when I get paid, you need to know, like, I don't want to be responsible at all whatsoever. I just want to buy stuff and not pay bills. But I've gotten so much better with that. You know, now I don't have someone doesn't have to call me and remind me. At 32 years old, I'm able to pay my bills in a timely manner. I'm proud to say that, in a timely manner. Because I didn't know how to do that when I got here. You got paid whenever. I told you I believed everybody got $10. Cars, part, everything, $10. I forgot to tell you my first addiction was fantasy as well. But now where my life is going, like all the gifts and stuff that I've received from Narcotics Anonymous, like I can't even fathom. Like I can't even tell you everything that God has given me. We're not even talking about material things. We're talking about inside. Like today, I don't like confrontation. Okay? I don't like confrontation. I don't embrace it anymore. I used to be like, blah, 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 all the time. Now I'm like, and I can't fight for real. You need to know that. But, you know, my mouth, you know, because the disease told me I was a tough girl in the bar. You know what I mean? No. I'm really scared. And like, I have insecurities. Like, I don't want you to beat me up. And I want you to like me. And I'm sorry. Now it's just like, you know, if we have a problem, I can sit down and talk to you about it instead of, like, getting in your face. And I have the ability to say, you know, now is not a good time. Because I don't want to say something to harm you. And most importantly, I don't want to have to say I'm sorry later. So that's why I keep my mouth shut. It's hard because you might see me at the Walmart cussing the girl out in line or at the deli counter. You know, there was many times me and my mom were double teaming people at the Walmart. We fall short. You know, I'm human, you know. And like I have sponsees today, and like that's a really important relationship to me. Like that's awesome because they help me so much, you know. They're amazing women. And you need to know, like, I don't sponsor, like, 50 women because it's all about ego and, woo, I got 50 sponsees. No, three, because that's all I can do, because this is about your life. This is life or death here for me. And, like, I don't just sponsor people just to say, I got sponsees. No, it's important. It's a relationship. I take that very seriously. So I only have as many as I can do. I work two jobs and go to school. I got to go to meetings too sometimes. Like, you know what I mean? I got to do Brandy. So I can't have 10 sponsees and, you know, give you everything that I got. I can't. So I only have three, and I'm completely okay with that. Believe me, in the beginning, I couldn't wait. I used to sit like 9 months like, I can't wait to sponsor somebody. Really? It's a lot of work. It takes some patience. You know, listening, being open-minded. And I can tell you, if I don't know the answer, like, one of my sponsees is married, okay? She calls me about stuff that has to do with marriage, and I give her to my sponsor because my sponsor is married. I've never been married. How can I give you advice on marriage if I'm not married? One thing I've learned, like, I got another sponsor because I had the same sponsor for 8 years. And you need to know, like, I had the same one. And for the past 8 years, Brandy was sponsoring herself. It wasn't her fault. It was my fault. I take responsibility for that. I got to a point of complacency. I got clean time, work, you know, I'm good. I don't really need to call my sponsor about nothing. I was wondering why, like, my life was completely insane. You know, because I'm sponsoring myself. But I needed to move on because I didn't really see her that often. And I needed more spiritual stuff, meditation. Because like the gentleman said before, when I came in here, I didn't believe in God. I don't believe in organized religions. But I do believe in God. I do. But I just have a struggle with that. But my sponsor goes to church and all that other stuff. And she's very spiritual. She doesn't push that on me. I've been open and told her some stuff like, you know, I have issues with God. I get angry with him, you know, and she doesn't judge me. Love her. I love her for that. So I chose her for that reason. Plus, she is good in relationships. And I'm at the point in my life that I want to have a relationship one day. I want to be married one day. One day. I'm 32. No kids. You know, one day. I probably got a good 5 years, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, that's something I want one day. And I told her I need some help in that area, how to be a good girlfriend. Because I just thought going to work, paying bills, sometimes lifting up my skirt is a good thing. No, there's more to a relationship than that. You know, because there's things I've learned I'm not good at. I'm not good at complimenting you or, like, you know, being supportive all the time. You know, I think because you go to work, that's what you're supposed to do. Why should I compliment you for going to work? Bitch, I go to work too. Like, that's where I go. You know, I go through that stuff, you know. Me and my mom were having this conversation about how women raise their daughters but love their sons. My father raised me like, you be independent, you work, you don't rely on nobody. And that's who I am. So when I get in a relationship with a man who's a little dependent emotionally on a woman that needs that type of self-esteem, I can't give it to you. I'm completely gone off that. You know, I can't compliment you for little things that you do. Oh, you cleaned up the house. Good job. No, it's you live here too. Clean it up. So a lot of that stuff. So I reach out to my sponsor. Help me. Help me be the woman that God wants me to be to groom me for one day being a wife. Help me. So she does. She gives me advice and everything. She gives me all that stuff to do to become a better woman. You know, and that's why I chose her. So like I was saying, like my sponsor calls me about marriage. I give her to my sponsor because she has experience. I don't. And I don't have a problem telling you I don't know, but I can get you with someone who does. That's what recovery is about. That's being a gift of recovery too, because before I thought I knew everything, but I really didn't know anything, you know. But I know, for me, honestly, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to be clean today. I'm grateful that, you know, Michelle and her committee asked me to come up here to share. It's been an honor, and I'm just completely, you know, I'm happy. I'm actually a happy person, honestly. No matter what happens to me, I'm happy, you know. Thank God for Starbucks and Red Bull. But thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day.